VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, basketball in the summer. Got girls there, man. You gotta get
new sneaks. Oh, but man. I need a new pair.
That was really hard to fade out, I gotta admit.
Oh man, what a tune. That is the summertime.
Oh dude, and I've introduced the girls to it. They love it. And every like it's like in May, and the girls are like, "Is it time?" And I'm like, "Nope."
Not ready yet.
The first hot day after June 1st, we roll down all the windows and it's summertime.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, glad that got up. Glad we caught that little bit of domestic.
I'm nervous.
Situation. Good morning, I guess I should say, to Ben and to Jeff. Ben, you're up and at work here on a Sunday.
I am, yes. Sunny, 12:37 p.m. right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, redoing a syllabus. That's how we do it. You know, a lot of professors work hard, just to be clear.
That's what I heard. and Jeff, it's tea and toast for you this morning.
It's a little, Sunday is the day when, Uncle Jeff usually sleeps in. This is how much I love these guys in this podcast that I set an alarm on a Sunday. Wow. But I am a little bohemian in my sleep patterns. The alarm went off and my body was like, well, that can't be right. So I'm here. I got coffee. I got some fancy toast. And we actually have a break in the deluge here. So I think my power is not in danger of going out. Although I have to get on the roof immediately after this because the leak has returned, which is
Oh gosh, so sorry, Ben Barton. Who was the basketball player? Was it Sleepy? Didn't
Eric
he go to
Sleepy
George?
Floyd?
Was it Derek Sleepy Floyd?
I think it's Eric Sleepy Floyd.
Eric Sleepy Floyd. That's Jeff Simons this morning.
For sure.
Go through the motions.
I'm glad it's an audio podcast because I look like I was just startled at 3 o'clock in the morning. So
I'm excited. I got iMovie working again to promote our podcast. Hey, welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Connect with us through Facebook. Do us a solid and leave us a review. That's how we can get more great fans like you.
I like it. And by the way, little known fact, if you gave a review a couple of years ago, you could just go back on and do it again.
It's true.
I'm serious. It resets. So just go back on and do it again.
Ben is totally right. Think about how much you've changed, how much the world has changed. Your insight is fresh as a daisy. So I totally agree with Ben. Get on there. Frankly, you might want to create two or three new usernames and review it two or three more times just to make sure. You've exhausted your insights into the show.
I love it. Well, welcome to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So excited to be here in Philly. It's going to be a great, great podcast today as we unpack Philadelphia's wonderful musical history. Before we get started in earnest, I was thinking, hear me out here. The boys in marketing were thinking about kind of a cross connection type of thing, synergy. So what we do is we do Knoxville and we have Knoxville's mayor come on the podcast. And as she picks,
whoops, sorry about that.
Sleepy Eric Floyd.
The first of many missteps in our Philadelphia podcast.
And we have the mayor launch her re-election campaign on this medium. What do you think?
Too late.
She already had her launch party. Sorry.
Oh, Golly.
You haven't contributed to the campaign? I've already donated, baby.
Oh, darn it. No, I was waiting until the big podcast launch. We'd be in national news. It'd be great. All right.
Poor India. We'll national campaign launched on idiot podcast. People questioning her judgment.
We'll do it for her third term because we'll still be going to Topeka or something like that.
For sure.
All right. Philadelphia, Jeff Simons, jumping ahead of things.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Arrival song. This is what I want to hear as I land in Philadelphia.
And I would like to point out, I've never heard this song.
What?
In my life. Never heard it. Here we go.
There's a thunderstorm brewing, and the day is turning gray, and there ain't much to say about the weather. Say the shower stall is leaking, and the ceiling's falling in, and I'm getting 20 bills to every letter.
What version do you have going on here?
You muted yourself, Chuck.
You muted yourself.
This is gonna be a rough one. It's a good question. I don't. The same one popped up four times when I put it into Spotify. This is the
I've
version.
Never heard that. Sorry, who said that? What is that?
It's Hall and Oates, but I have.
It's Daryl Hall and John Oates. They're very particular. That it's Daryl Hall and John Oates. That's the name of the band.
Oh my God. What is it with you, Hall and Oates? Are you going to explain in this podcast what is it with you and that band? Ever since I met you, I feel like something traumatic happened with an abandoned luncheonette in the background. Like,
that's good. You know, I like to think I've got a little blue-eyed soul as part of my thing. You know, I think I got a little Daryl Hall.
Have it. You definitely have it.
So
anyway,
so,
that's the only version that came up on Spotify. Is there a better, older, more horrifying version?
Hopefully to God there's a better version.
that was awful.
I honestly, I'm dubious that there is.
That's the source material, the artist, but Hall & Oates. That's where I pulled it from.
It is. Okay. Maybe it's my headphones. Maybe I got to get rid of these headphones. Ben, does Jeff sound funny to you?
No, but that song did.
All right, I think I just fixed my headphones. All right, here we go. Yeah, you got to pick Hall & Oates if you're arriving in Philadelphia.
No, you don't. In case you were wondering, no, you don't. Off to a bad start. I'm not enjoying this trip so far. It's really bad.
Well, Philly does have some rough spots, Ben. As perhaps the two of you know, but we'll get to that in just a second. All right. I would like to know the population of Philadelphia. I will take the city or the metro area. Let's get closest to the pin.
You want to go first, Ben?
Yeah. Metro area, 3.8 million.
Higher or lower?
A little bit lower. And I'll say the general Philly surrounding area is about 5.5.
Okay. No, that's what I said, is metro area.
Yeah, metro area.
Oh, that's the whole area? Then I think the whole area is much bigger. I think the city itself is like 2 million and the area is like 5.5.
Pretty good. The city is 1.6. The metro area 6.3.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. Now, we're gonna just check our geography and our knowledge of American cities here, real quick. Jeff, you won that first round, so you get to go first in this round. We're gonna go back and forth, naming America's largest cities. Go, Jeff.
And this is, I'm sorry, the You're area just, or the city?
This is just the city. What's the largest city in the United States?
New York City.
Ben, for number two.
Los Angeles.
Excellent. Jeff, for number three.
Chicago.
Chicago is number three. Ben,
See, now you suck. This is so mean-spirited. You let Jeff go first?
No,
he's Chicago's so mean-spirited. He earned.
And it's also, that's a layup at number three. Like, so, for example, the metro area of Phoenix is the same as the city because the city is that entire gargantuan county.
Yep, same with Jack.
Correct.
Right, totally. So, correct. But it's not Phoenix. It's Dallas or Houston, and I think it's Houston.
It is Houston. Excellent. So wow, look at that. The lawyerly mind just kind of narrowing down all the facts. Jeff Simons, who's fifth?
I'm going to say Phoenix is fifth because
it
of that weird.
Is Phoenix. Wow, you guys are amazing. I didn't know Phoenix was that big. All right, Ben.
But it's actually not that big. My metro area is right, like 11th right. or 12th. It's just that
spread
it's
out.
Phoenix.
Yep.
All right, what do you got for sixth?
Well, I guess I'll go with Dallas.
Oh, it's Philly. We were doing so well. Philly is the sixth largest city in the United States. San Antonio, 7. San Diego, 8.
Yeah, but that's crazy because the Dallas metro area is like a lot bigger than the San Antonio
Dallas
metro
is,
area.
Dallas is 9.
Plus Dallas and Fort Worth.
Right,
are
it's just, right, yeah.
And 10, Jeff Simons, will go to your neck of the woods. San Jose.
Yeah, it's big.
Where's
Atlanta on that list?
Yeah, not there.
I'm weird.
Yeah. And the metro area, again, of Atlanta is big, but the city itself is not so big. All right. Fun time with geography on the podcast. Let's instead go to history of Philadelphia. Jeff, I'll let you go first. When did a white man find Philadelphia? And who was
find
it?
His way into the Philly area?
Yes. And who was it?
It was William Penn.
Excellent. You might know him better from the Quaker Oats box.
Indeed. And the top of the there used to be a law in Philadelphia that no building could be taller than William Penn, whose statue adorned the tallest building in Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought you meant him.
25 years ago, they were like, well, that was cute. And then now they have 8 buildings taller.
That's great. What year?
16 something. I don't know. It was a long time ago, though.
It was 1682. Ben, did you know that?
I was going to say 1678. So
yeah, that's good.
That would have been impressive. Okay. Well, we are moving on right now, as we should.
By the way, no need for the conditional there, Timmy. You didn't have to do that. Would have been impressive. It was impressive. Just go ahead and you can just do it. You don't have to.
That's pretty impressive, Ben Barton. All right, Ben Barton.
You okay?
What is the most famous TV show associated with Philadelphia?
Oh,
that is a good question.
The beginning of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
It is not.
I was going to say, that might be true, the first 40 seconds of that show. Give us a hint. Drama, comedy?
It has music. Launched a lot of careers.
Soul Train.
American Bandstand.
Oh,
begins in Philadelphia.
With Dick Clark?
Runs nationally from 1956 to 1989.
Isn't that amazing?
Never saw an episode.
It's pretty unwatchable. I mean, most bands lip synced on it. So basically, it's like watching a band pretend to play a song while people danced in the front. It was very similar to Top of the Pops in England.
Okay. Are they lip syncing from 1956 on? Like from the get-go, they're lip syncing?
Yeah, I think so. Every once in a while, a singer would sing live against the backing track and do like a karaoke performance. But they never had the bands were never live.
And why was that?
Because it's a huge pain in the ass, right? Like you got
to
mic
live everybody. Music.
Yeah, you got to get a whole mix. You got remember that when American Bandstand starts, it's a 2-track mono mix out of the camera microphones. So having a live band perform, like all hell could totally break loose. So much easier to just play the record. And have them like,
yeah, pretend.
Know. Yep.
And then they actually,
there's some really funny ones where bands are so pissed off about it that they're refusing to actually touch the instruments. Like drummers are playing in the air near the drummer. They're doing this. So the beat is like, it's really, there's some really funny ones.
It's also inexplicable. Like to modern people, like if I show this to my daughters, they would be like, what? I don't understand. And I'd be like, it's a show where people dance.
Yeah.
You watch them dance and they'd be like, but these people aren't good at dancing. And I'd be like, yes, that is true. If you want to see people who are good at dancing, you have to watch Soul Train.
Yeah.
This is just, they're playing a record and white people are dancing, not even very well.
Yeah. It's what it reminds me of is it's like a 30-minute TikTok episode where you hear the whole song. That's pretty much what it is.
No, it is not. They're good at dancing on TikTok.
That's true. A lot of the TikTok.
And also it lasts 15 seconds, which makes a huge difference to lasting a half an hour.
Oh, my
God.
It's
true.
So long. All right. Well, it is time for us to move on to the Philadelphia compilation. You know, we've gotten some feedback that our naming here on the 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys podcast isn't very sharp. Weird.
It's on point, though. Nobody can accuse us of false advertising.
So here are some ideas that the fellows down in marketing came up with to brand this segment of our podcast with a little more gripping stuff. Ready? 50-year-old snippets.
That really, you know, that sounds like a procedure, but that's okay.
All right, that's one choice. One choice. Hear me out on this one. Yo, DJ.
Oh, no. Hard no.
And the rather pedestrian, guess the song.
Those are my three choices?
Listen, they need more pay down there.
How about Timmy's Cuts with a Z?
Oh, I had Timmy's Sadistic Selections.
Oh, that's good. The TSS. We can get like a devil's voice, Timmy's Sadistic Selections.
Speaking of sadistic.
And he is in the basement. He's got us down in the torture basement.
Great.
Speaking of sadistic selections, I have 15 for you. These are so easy, such layups that I feel there are really only three challenges in the whole list.
Oh, my God.
So your goal is to get 13 out of 15. You got to get one of those challenges. Get your pens and pencils ready, everybody. Number your papers 1 through 15 as we go off on sadistic selections.
I like it. All right, here we go. Ready?
We're going hopping. We're going hopping today. When things are popping, a Philadelphia way.
A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes.
We are sailing to Philadelphia.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night.
We went to the Philly Pizza Company and ordered some hot tea.
Well, it's been hell back in Philadelphia.
Even if I slack, I got enough leeway to put out the reason by the Mac. Philadelphia freeway, and I'm back.
Man, there ain't no shame.
Big shots of Mo Cheeks and Moses Malone. Julius Serva called Philly's home. Bobby Jones, Daryl Dawkins, and Tony Sinkin Freeze.
It's hot as hell in Philadelphia.
Someone open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Well, 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 on the three challenges, I got some stunned looks. By the way, I know
the first nine, I think, right out of the box. I'm 9 for 9, and then it gets ugly.
I know the recording for Sailing to Philadelphia is terrible, but it's not as bad as the song. So I figured I'm not going to fix it. Because that song...
It came in like...
That song is so bad. I think the garbled nature of my recording actually kind of pepped it up a little bit.
All right, so we get a second listen, and we can we check answers along the way, Ben?
Yeah, we can check answers, and right now we'll go to our first advertisement. Fade out by the producer, huh? Look at me.
That's pretty good. Did we go 9 for 9 on the first ones? Did we get all of those correct?
No, let's call them out for the listeners.
Okay.
There you go. Number one,
Barry Manilow.
Terrific. The theme song from American Bandstand. Great. Number two, Ben Barton.
Elton John.
More peas, please. Yes, all Elton John, all the time. Number three, Jeff.
Martha and the Vandellas.
That is correct. Number four, Ben.
That one's so good.
It's so great.
I think it's Boys to Men. That's Jeff and my
consensus. Is, yes. Boys to Men, BBD, the East Coast family. Yep. Excellent.
Number five is Will Smith. Is it Will Smith?
Hold the phone. It's credited to DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. That's going to be my song. And just note, they said DJ Jazzy Jeff listed first.
All right. For Summertime. Nice job.
I thought that was after Went Solo. That's my bad. Sorry.
Was that the fifth?
Yeah. Number right, six. Well, one, two, three. Number six is James Taylor sounding garbled.
I need you. It is definitely James Taylor singing.
Oh, it's Mark Knopfler's song.
Excellent. Mark Knopfler's song brings in James Taylor. Questionable move. Ben Barton, number seven.
Springsteen. And I was happy to have this instead of Streets of Philadelphia. I thought you were going to give us that for sure.
Yeah, nicely done.
Although, again, you couldn't help us out with City of Brotherly Love, the Neil Young one.
No, because he's not on Spotify. So it would have been challenging.
Oh,
number eight, Jeff Simons.
Is the Dead Milkmen, punk rock girl.
It is. I got Flannery to listen to that this week. She's like, that's a really cool song. I'm like,
it's so funny. Yeah,
that's a gateway drug, that song. She's going to have a mohawk in 3 weeks.
That's what she's like. She's like, now what's the name of the band? I'm like, honey, they're called the Dead Milkmen. You know, she's like,
I've seen the Dead Milkmen twice in concert.
I think you're anticipating a new segment that we're going to have on the podcast.
All right,
number eight. Number nine
is Dr. Dog.
It is Dr. Dog with the song Alaska.
Yep.
Number 10.
Now I'm stumped. I don't know what that indie rock song is at all.
This was one of the tragic offerings that you might not know. That was the Tragically Hip.
From Canada? Oh, I don't like that band. That song didn't sound terrible, though, I got to be honest. But I've tried to listen to the Tragically Hip because they're like the REM of Canada, and I just can't find songs I like on any other records.
All right, number 11.
Ben, help us out.
I think that's Jay-Z with Freeway.
It's with Jay-Z. Jay-Z's with someone. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, Jay-Z
is
doing well. Number
Next
12.
Next one is G-Love and Special Sauce.
That is indeed. Jeff, tell the people about G-Love and Special Sauce.
By the way, if you have not yet listened to the Artist in Residence interview that Tim and I did for Philadelphia, we interviewed one G-Love, and we had a ball. We had funny, smart, thoughtful, moving conversation about the hybridic nature of art, specifically in Philadelphia. Cannot recommend that
really
interview
fun.
Enough. What a good
Ben,
guy.
Ben, have you given it a chance yet?
Sorry, no. I'm going to listen, though, I promise.
Ben, by the way, the right answer is yes. Great job, fellas. That's now on to say that. We will not push further.
All right.
Sure. Great job, fellas.
Ben Barton, what's next?
That's some weird musical. What the hell is that? Gilbert and Sullivan.
Can you think of any musical about Philadelphia?
That's a good critical thinking right there, Jeff Simons.
Because that's what we need to do. There's definitely a musical from our childhood about like Philadelphia or the founding of America. And I cannot remember the name. Oh, so
look
at
maybe
that.
It's 1776.
Yes. Yes. Unbelievable. It is 1776. If you're getting that, I'm giving you credit, even if you can't tell me the name of the singer. But it is William Daniels of St. Elsewhere fame singing lead on that one.
I think that would have taken us a while, Timmy. We might have been here a little bit before Jeff and I came up with that name.
I love that you got it.
That's the pull. By the way, that is the pull of the entire sadistic pick.
No way. You dragged me right there. You took a horse to water. I just dipped down and got it.
What's next?
I wouldn't have gotten the name of that musical to save my own children's lives. That was fantastic. Steve Miller is next, and then I don't know the last song. I can tell, but I don't know.
Yeah. So you guys won. You got 13 out of 15. Congratulations. Oh. You will know. You definitely know that voice because he had a really, really, really big hit. That was Steve Forbert.
Oh yeah, Jackrabbit Slim. Couldn't pick Romeo's Delight for us. I guess he doesn't say Philadelphia.
Doesn't say Philadelphia. That's kind of part of the. The shtick.
Remember that song, Ben? That meet me in the middle of the night. Let me hear you say
everything's all right.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He was like one of the
Romeo's tune.
Yeah, it's one of the guys they signed in late 70s, looking for the next Springsteen, and it didn't quite work.
All right, real quick, the newest segment on 50 Years of Music with 50 Year Old White Guys is This Week in Punk, where we go to Jeff Simons. And we throw the name of a punk band at him where he has no prep. And he tells us a little bit about them. Jeff Simons, the punk band this week is Pure Hell.
I don't know anything about Pure Hell. Never heard of them. So far, we're up to a great start.
It's Hell? A short segment. Well, what can you tell us about the Dead Milkman? Because Philly did have a legit punk scene.
Yeah, and the Dead Milkmen were one of the folks that went national out of it. So the Dead Milkmen were they started as kind of a snotty joke band. The first record was called "Eat Your Pate." And the first record is called was like a monster eating a. It was the big first song that broke out was called "Bitchin' Camaro," where it's like a fake like swingy jazz thing, and then it becomes like a super fast punk song, bitchin' Camaro, I ran over my neighbor. It's pretty funny. And then the second record was called Eat Your Paisley. And the big hit was The Thing That Only Eats Hippies, which name checked a bunch of other punk band friends of theirs made fun of them. And then the song you play, Punk Rock Girl, was the one that actually charted and is probably still paying for their mortgages. It's a hilarious song. It's singable and great.
And like 2 minutes
long. We got into my car.
And 2 minutes long, yeah. Boom.
We got into her car. Away we started rolling. I said, how much you pay for this? She said, nothing, man. It's stolen. They were really good in concert. They opened for the Replacements at the Tower Theater the first time I saw them. Then I saw them at some shitty club. But it was very tongue-in-cheek. Like they were... There was never an expectation that the Dead Milkmen were... They weren't one of those punk bands who were like... worried about Central America or worried about American politics. They were just a good old fashioned finger in the eye poke.
Yeah.
Things in general. And they were refreshing in that way. They never tried to be anything else other than a whimsical diversion.
Fun but they were good. Fun stuff. Well, we're going to go from This Week in Punk to the best-selling artist, the favorite son or daughter of Philadelphia. Could not believe this, but my research brings me to Philadelphia having a favorite daughter, Jeff Simons.
Which song? Just the number one?
Yeah, the Just Give Me a Reason.
I thought that was you saying, I thought you were just seriously like, just give me a reason. I thought you were like, okay.
Challenging you.
I'm catching up. Here we go.
Right from the start, you were a thief, you stole my heart, and I, your willing victim. I let you see the parts of me that weren't all that pretty, and with every touch you fixed them. Now you've been talking in your sleep, oh, things you never say to me, oh, tell me that you've had enough of our love, our love. Just give me a reason, just a little bit's enough. Just a second, we're not broken, just bent, and we can learn to love again. It's in the stars, it's been written.
Pink!
How about that?
With an exclamation point instead of an I.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
That's pretty cool.
Any fans of Pink on the podcast?
I wouldn't say
I don't despise her, but I don't like her.
I will say I'm moved by how much other people love her. When I see performance clips, like the audience is just completely spellbound, and she has a much better voice than I gave her credit for when she first, like, wasn't Get This Party Started the one that broke her out?
Oh, which just kind of gonna like, get off,
like she dance kind of one hit wonder, and she has turned out to be way more talented than that. But it doesn't, it is not in my wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what she is.
I got a list of like 30 Philly artists that I actually truly love listed here, and she is not on that list. So,
yeah. Nor mine, but good on you, Pink. Keep it up. We appreciate your career. All right. Before we get to our Philadelphia songs or albums or places or concerts or whatever, we have to acknowledge that two of the co-hosts of this podcast went to college in the Philadelphia area. They went to Haverford College. And so I thought it was appropriate to test your shared knowledge of your alma mater. Rapid fire Haverford College questions. What year was it founded?
1810.
1833.
Hold on. What is its current religious affiliation?
There is no official affiliation, but it's Quaker in its roots.
Oh, it is actually Orthodox Quaker in its root. I don't know what that means, but scary.
Yeah, that means they eat the oats every day.
What is the current endowment of Haverford College?
Several hundred million dollars.
Good. $619 million.
I got enough. I'm just going to stop sending him by $20 a year. It's a lot of money.
Current undergrad population?
About 1,350.
Higher or lower, Ben?
That's much right up. I mean, there's a bump year after COVID, so I think they're a little swollen.
1,435 currently.
Wow, that's big for Haverford.
Big for them, yeah.
Do either of you have the motto memorized?
No.
Not more learned, but steeped in a higher learning.
No, that's perfect. Not the nerdiest, but still pretty nerdy. That should be that.
When did Haverford College go fully co-ed? Fully co-ed.
1980 is the year that it starts.
You're done. Yeah. When did the first black man graduate from Haverford College?
I'm afraid to know the answer to that question, but I'm going to guess it's a Quaker college. Maybe they got ahead of the curve.
That's what I think. I think it's in the 1800s somewhere.
Me too. The late
1800s. 1926. Oh, but still, for Haverford, it's late.
That's tragically late.
Current president Wendy Raymond is also a professor at Haverford College. What is she a professor of?
Sociology?
Biology. She's into molecular genetics.
I'll shut up. You can answer.
I'm saying, why is it Tim giving me a shot?
We're supposed to be working together.
So this blew my mind. Haverford has an honor code where you can just kind of schedule your own exam. Yeah, like Tuesday doesn't work for me. I'm gonna go ahead and take that on Friday.
In fact, most of them, Tim, you don't even have to schedule. The exams used to be like in a series of boxes in this one place called Stokes. And there were moments when you could go and grab them, like 3-hour windows. So you would walk over, grab your exam out of a box, go somewhere and take it for 3 hours and then return it.
You could take
it in the trunk of your car if you felt
That's
like that
really
was
great. The best. Now, do you guys remember as freshmen, was there some sort of ceremony that brought you into the honor code and this life of integrity at Haverford?
In fact, every our little RA group or customs group, as we called them, had somebody called an honor code orienteer, HCO, who was supposed to sit down and talk you through how to fulfill the expectations of the honor code. Mine closed his talk by then collecting money to buy us beer illegally. So there was a mixed message from IHCO. But it stuck. I mean, this is a true story. I took my astronomy final freshman year from 11 to 2 a.m. in my room. And I had been frantically studying up to it. And I got stumped on the last question. And I just knew that there was this one thing I was forgetting that was causing. And I completely pooched it and, you know, closed the exam, sealed it in the envelope. And while I was cursing myself, I looked over and my textbook was open
to that the spot.
With the answer, and I had not even thought about where my textbook is.
Right.
So it sunk deep and quickly, because you really felt like everybody was doing it. So,
and I know you both lead lives of integrity now, so it's stuck.
I'm much more of a dirtbag now than I was.
Okay. All right. Final Haverford question. Name.
Wait, I want to hear Ben's take on that. I was incurably honest academically at Haverford, and that's definitely that's stuck into my adult life. But I'm much more likely to be like, no, I didn't get that jury summons at 53 than I was at 20. So,
hey, it was mostly essay exams, and so honestly, you know, there wasn't,
yeah,
it wasn't like they were, it wasn't like a multiple choice exam or things where you could literally, like, you know, like it was a big deal to know what was going to be on the test. Like, so for example, for Western Civ, if someone was like, you're really going to need to study Charlemagne, I'm like, well, pretty much knew that one.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, spent 2 weeks on that dude. I'm going to be on top of it. Don't worry.
All right. Name two of the coolest, dopest, rockin'est bands ever formed at Haverford College.
Well, there's Sea of Fuzz.
Right,
there are no dope rocking bands from Haverford side to report.
Wait, Jeff, weren't you in a band there?
Yeah,
my band was called Fiddle and the Wisdom Giving Plants.
But
and,
then we were in an all star band where we backed up Jeff.
That's not true.
Jeff Simon's in the Explanation.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
That one was actually pretty good.
Mostly Jeff Simon's in the Explanation. We were just called the Explanation.
No way. We were called Jeff Simon's the Explanation for sure.
That's terrible. That's embarrassing for everybody involved.
How has Sea of Fuzz not been taken by another band? That's a great
name.
Isn't it
the greatest? It's the greatest lost band name of all time. It's really excellent.
We got to bring it back on this podcast. All right. Thank you for playing along. Let's go to our three songs or albums or artists or what have you. Ben,
can I go first?
Yeah, you go first, Jeff.
I want to start by saying, first of all, my life partner / wife / Philadelphia resident still will not listen. I just asked her if she's going to listen to the Philly episode. She was like, I'm good. So I can just talk.
Oh, my God. I'm going to write her a letter.
But she's from Philly itself. She's not from the Philly suburbs. She's not one of those people like, I'm from Philly. Oh, what neighborhood? Radnor. Like, she's from Germantown. So she's got, and I've been to visit, you know, her family house a bunch of times. So my wife's whole side of the family is deeply steeped in Philadelphia history. I would just like to say that there are a bunch of different Philadelphias depending on where you grew up and when you grew up. So there's so much music. Unlike some of the other cities we've done, there's just an embarrassment of options here. Like, Philly has produced and both rock and soul music, right? Like, the Gamble and Huff early 70s Philly soul is its own thing, probably not equal to Motown overall, but like, though, you know, when you hear that Elton John Philadelphia Freedom, he's just right, ripping off all the Gamble and Huff stuff, the strings, the big arrangements, right? But there are so many bands you could choose from that moment. And then, you know, if one of us doesn't pick the Roots, then I'm at least going to say Questlove and the Roots here, because this guy's just kind of invented a way of understanding the intersection between rap and live music in the 90s that impacted everybody. And Questlove has turned himself into one of the preeminent rock historians of his age with his documentaries. The fact that they're on Fallon playing like that every night is just, and I mean, there's so many though. There's Teddy Pendergrass and Santi Gold and Boyz II Men and Patti LaBelle and Erykah Badu and Will Smith, who sounds like something like, but then you go to the rock side and yeah, there's the Philly punk scene. There's G Love. There's the Disco Biscuits. Like, they got into the jam thing a little bit. I've already spent 20 minutes barking at everyone about Dr. Dog, but coming out right now, Philly's having like a big moment right now. Hop Along is a really cool band. Sheer Mag is a cool band. The War on Drugs might be the American U2 of the moment. They're a Philly band. There's of course the Hooters, but Japanese Breakfast is from Philly. This is right. A city that has a lot.
As long as you're in the modern rock area, Waxahachie, the early Waxahachie records are Philly records, and Modern Baseball is actually my favorite of that. The unknown little indie Philly bands.
Cool. You know, it's funny because I don't think of Philly gets such a bad rap, right? I mean, it's the in between city between DC and New York. And it's famous, most famous, to quote Bill Burr, your most famous son is a fictional character, right? Like, Rocky's not real, and it's the most famous thing about Philadelphia. And, you know, Philly fans are the worst, throwing batteries at Santa Claus, right? But for me, the Philadelphia I always think of is actually not the Philadelphia, well, maybe it kind of is, of when we were at Haverford. I mean, you're not in Philadelphia at Haverford at all. But when you go into Philadelphia from Haverford, you're like, oh, this is different. But I think of like that gritty early to mid 70s is my Philly. And I'm just going to pick I'm not going to pick any of those artists. I'm going to pick an artist that people may not have heard of or may not remember, because that seems to be my value add in this thing. So I'm going all the way back to the early 1970s, and I'm going to pick an artist called Todd Rundgren. Todd Rundgren got his start in Philadelphia in a band called the Nazz. Had a couple of like kind of top 40-ish hits. And then he turned himself into kind of this spacey, weirdo genius. Todd Rundgren's one of the first guys to just go into his own basement and make his records, play every instrument, do all the mastering, do all the mixing and production, and hand the record as is to the record company. And he has a string of hits in the 70s, even though he's making these bizarre double albums, things like Something Anything or A Wizard, A True Star. There's a double record called Just Todd, where he's on like a brown cover and he's just kind of looking stoned back at you. And like, some of the songs are 30 seconds long. Some of them are 8 minutes long. They're all over the place. In the middle of the 70s, one of his friends dared him that he couldn't recreate classic songs sounding exactly like the originals. So he put out a record called Faithful, which is half originals. And the other side is his five favorite songs expertly recreated from scratch by him just to prove he could do it, like Strawberry Fields Forever. And I can't remember what all the other ones are, but it's like a mixtape of identical covers with Todd Rundgren singing. He's famous for being married to B.B. Buell and raising Liv Tyler as his own daughter, because he thought he was Liv Tyler's dad. But of course, Liv Tyler's dad is actually Steven Tyler. And
what? Holy cow.
Then she grew up and started to look more and more like Steven. And then she had to tell her husband, Todd, and Todd, who was great credit, was like, I don't care. I mean, I've been raising her since she was an infant. She's my daughter as far as I'm concerned. But she left him, and then he made this terribly sad breakup record called The Hermit of Mink Hollow. I could pick a bunch of Todd Rundgren songs. And then he became like an unbelievable game-changing producer, right? Once his kind of moment as an artist started to fade in the early 80s, he made a song called Bang the Drum All Day and made like $1 million off that. And then he became a producer. He produced XTC Skylarking. He's produced a whole bunch of other, and he's still going. He's like still recording, still touring. He's a wonderful weirdo. And his records, his 1970 and 1976 records, just sound like Philadelphia in the 70s, like a little down at the heel, underfunded, super urban. And he's an early hybrid of rock and soul. Like, Rundgren's unquestionably a rock and roll artist, but he's a rock and roll artist who's obviously spending most of his free time listening to soul music. There's a depth, and I'm going to go all the way back to his very first hit single from 1970. I could pick a whole bunch, but the first 10 seconds of this song makes me smile and giggle every time. So I'm going with We Gotta Get You a Woman for my Philly song.
Leroy, boy, is that you? I thought your post-hanging days were through. Sunken eyes and full of sighs, tell no lies. You get wise. I tell you now, we're gonna pull you through. There's only one thing left that we can do. We gotta get you a woman. It's like nothing else can make you sure you're alive. We gotta get you a woman. We better get walking. We're wasting time talking now. Leroy boy, you're my friend.
I think that's so funny. Leroy boy, is that you? I thought your post-hanging days were through. It's like, this is one thing that we gotta do. We gotta get you a woman.
Oh, Leroy.
Poor sad Leroy. Like, dude, like, just get it together, man. So, yeah, so Todd Rundgren's my... That just sounds like the Philadelphia of my imagination.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like cool parts standing around a garbage can on fire singing and really old fashioned, like drum, bass, guitar sounds. And it's the kitchen sink, right? Like Rundgren's throwing every little studio trick he can at every song that he records. So that's my pick.
Nice pick. Nice pick. Ben, do you like Todd Rundgren?
Mixed on Todd Rundgren. This is one that Jeff has tried really hard. He's given to the old Jeff try on getting me by Todd Rundgren. I like the hand claps, but
I do. Yeah, those are great.
So funny.
I remember, you'll love this, the gritty Philadelphia story. I just remembered a story because I grew up for first 5 years in New Jersey, and then I went back and visited, and I got taken to an Eagles game, which is super exciting. I'd never been to an Eagles game, and I'm part of this mixed crowd, all these dudes in Philly Eagles shirts. And they're talking about how great a Philadelphia Eagles game is. And Eagle, have you ever been to an Eagles game? I'm like, no, I've never seen the Eagles play. So, you've never been to Veterans Stadium? I'm like, well, kind of. I've been to Riverfront. He did not think that was funny. Just but it's the same exact stadium. It's a shitty oval with bad turf.
Yeah, but the Vet was still the stadium when Ben and I were in college. Oh, yeah. And we went to a couple Phillies games there, and it's brutal, like that old artificial turf that's the wrong color and that just big circle. I remember so we went to a Phillies Cubs game in like September when both teams were 40 games out, and we 10 of us went, and we were on the Jumbotron three times because they had nobody else to put on the Jumbotron. They were like, these assholes in left field, let's just put them on home.
That's awesome. All right, Ben Barton, what are you going to bring to the table in Philadelphia?
Well, so first I want to sing the praises of Philadelphia, a town that I absolutely love. Grew up in New York, but going to college outside Philadelphia was a fantastic experience for me. And Jeff's completely right. Like, Haverford's in the suburbs. There's no question about that at all. But it was close enough where I went in with regularity, for sure, to the point where it would be hard to say. I mean, I definitely didn't get to know the whole town, but I got to know the parts of the town that a kid would go into and walk around, and then some other parts too. And just have a gigantic soft spot for it. So Jeff and I were there 87 to 91. So it wasn't quite the rocky 70s, but it was still a tough town for sure.
Yep. I mean, I've only ever been mugged once, and it was in Philly.
Jeff,
and it was my fault entirely, but it did happen. So
Jeff has had the great good fortune to go back, and basically my daughter now goes to Haverford College. And so we went back 2 years, I guess 5 years ago, we went back and toured colleges and stayed downtown Philly and walked around. And then I've been back at least, you know, every 6 months or so. And I can tell you, as a parent, it's super fun. I bring them downtown. I choose a cool place, take everybody out.
Yep.
And when they're under 21, I'm like, don't worry. Like, it's all going to be good. Super fun. Super fun. It's so nice now. It is so nice now.
Right.
Like, incredible. It's just jaw dropping. You can't imagine it. We stayed at a place the first time. We stayed at an Airbnb that was in between South Street and downtown. And Dolly was like, what was this like when you went to college here? And I was like, oh, I would never, ever have been on this block. So this was like, no
scary.
Way. Like I was a New Yorker, so I would drive down and park. I refused to pay for parking. So I'm like wandering around outside South Street. You get two blocks off South Street, you're like, hey now. Here. I'm never seeing this car again.
Exactly. There's a reason. There's a reason these spots are readily available. Yep. No question. Yeah. No, my wife's parents moved into Germantown in 1973, and they had spent their entire adult lives intimately connected to Philly's progress and sometimes lack thereof. And they, when I come to visit, like we have the Philadelphia Pride Tour day where they just drive us around and show us all.
That's great. Stuff.
Like, can you believe how beautiful this building is? Like, your dad will take us to a park. Like, look how beautiful this park is. You can just walk around. And I'm so happy for him that he has gutted it out. And the spaces that he was just determined to make nicer through community efforts are actually. At the same time, it is the worst public school system in America. It is the most underfunded, just brutally abandoned public school city system in the United States. The Harrisburg state government has just liquidated Philadelphia school system, and it's a national tragedy and embarrassment.
Wow.
Anyway,
delicious food scene too. Really, really, really,
really good. You're right.
Yeah,
totally. The whole cheesesteak thing is no longer the thing. Yeah,
cheesesteaks are still great and super fun. Yeah. So yeah, so that I just wanted to sing that little piano to Philly, just like absolutely Woo! Love that town. And like Jeff, this was a hard one. Like I like went through the list and thought hard about it. And again, not to be mean to our good friends where we spent 6 weeks up in New England. But I mean, the list here versus the list from Boston.
Yeah, right.
Boston considers itself a peer to Philadelphia, and I've got some news. Hard no. Like the list of acts here is never ending. And I almost went with Modern Baseball. I almost, because I think that's really emblematic of like this little percolating scene that's happening in Philly, but I couldn't do it because my all time favorite song about Philly, our good friend, Willard Carroll Smith, II, born September 25th, 1968 in West Philadelphia, his mom, Caroline, to school board administrator. And his dad, William Carroll Smith Sr., is a Air Force veteran and refrigeration repairman. And it's a mixed neighborhood. It's like on West Philly, far enough out where it's a working class neighborhood, mixed between African Americans and other races. In 1985, he's a junior in high school, and he goes to a house party four doors down from where he lives, where the DJ Jazzy Jeff, is there. But his hype man is not there. So Willard goes up to Jazzy Jeff and is like chatting him up. And Jeff's like, you know, man, I have this guy. And he just jumps around behind me and is like, go, 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 hands up, hands up, hands up. But he's not here. And Will's like, I'm your guy. Like, I am your guy.
That is
Sign
so great.
Sign me up.
So great.
And it was a total Wally Pipp thing. The hype guy eventually shows up. And DJ Jazzy Jeff's like, you're fired. This guy's hired. He's my guy. They are signed to a indie Philly label by a year later. He graduates high school and he's signed to Russell Simmons' label. And they re-put out the first album. And it's a really funny thing. Like, Will Smith has had a crazy, amazing career, really worth contemplating the various choices he made, all the success he's had, and the various weird things that he's done. So one vein of rap music that is still kind of sort of percolating along, but has more or less dried up, is the funny rap. So Slick Rick is the progenitor. That's the OG. And DJ Jazzy Jeff owe a great debt to Slick Rick. But all of their first songs are joke songs. And then he gets onto the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And of course, that's a joke thing. And there's this like he's hilarious. First of all, I don't want to undersell how funny the joke songs are and how good they are. Like, just because they're joke songs doesn't mean they're bad. Like, he's fantastic. But there's this whole like depth to him that is somehow like lacking in these songs. Like, there's a slickness to it. There's a jokiness to it. And he's had a remove. Like, I find him this way as an actor too. Like, I feel like, he's a fantastic actor and he's been in a bunch of really, really good movies, but you really rarely get into like this deeper, like aspect of him, where he sort of channels back to his whole life. And that's why Summertime is by a mile my favorite song by the Fresh Prince. And it's my favorite Philly song. And I rarely recommend the video, but the video to this, does anyone else remember it?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
So there's two parts to the video. Part one of the video is the two of them are in a flatbed truck drinking and driving around Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's freaking fantastic. But then the second part, the much more likable part, is they set up in the park in their neighborhood where they grew up and have a big house party and film the whole thing. And it's freaking fantastic. There's like grandma and grandpa's in there dancing and little tiny African-American kids just fucking throwing down. and Will Smith doing really dumb looking, hilarious dances. It's so great.
One of my favorite memories my wife shares with me is being like a 9-year-old girl and hearing a block party two blocks down. The Hansberry block party that she's not allowed to attend at age 9. And she's got the window open, just listening to Kool and the Gang and people partying. One of these days, I'm getting in on that. That video for me, I imagine, like, I pull back and imagine Susie, little Susie in her window, like, ooh, that sounds pretty fun.
That's fantastic. It goes through all of it. You can see every single part of Philly. It's got the art museum and the Rocky statue, but it also has this unbelievably fun looking party that makes me super happy. I think we could play the whole song. The whole song's fantastic. My favorite verse and the most Philly verse is the second verse. The video actually starts in Fairmont Park at the Belmont Plateau, and that's name dropped back in Philly at the plateau. That's where everybody parked. And just the description of summertime in Philly. Oh, man, dude. And when they pop the water plug just for old time's sakes, that was a Brooklyn thing, too, man. Like they would pop it open and they get the can out and you just be running through it as a little kid. So good. 124, please, Jeff.
Let's go.
Out and it's sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what habit is, the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac, and with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
Oh, basketball in the summer got girls there, man. You gotta get
new sneaks. But I need a new pair.
That was really hard to fade out, I gotta admit.
Oh man, what a tune. That is the summertime.
Oh dude, and I've introduced the girls to it. They love it. And every like it's like in May and the girls are like, is it time? And I'm like, nope.
No, it's not.
Not ready yet. So the first hot day after June 1st, we roll down all the windows and it's summertime.
Oh, that's great. She turned around to see what you beeping at. Ah, great song. That was on my list. I was going to pick that. But then I also had Todd Rundgren. I mean, you guys, it's just kind of like I'm overwhelmed by Philadelphia and all the choices that are out there. Oh, this is a funny story. We're going to go with The Roots. And we're going to go with... what is it? The Seed or Seed 2.0?
Seed.
Because this was my volleyball song for the volleyball team to get us pumped up, play during warmups. And young Patrick Burke, a young teacher, comes over to me midway through the season. He's like, have you listened to the lyrics? I'm like, what now? He's like, you might want to listen to the lyrics.
Knocked up 9 months ago, and what you finna hash soul, cause hip-hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or ice and gold. She want a whole lot of sun to fold. If you were obstacles, you just drive you cold. Cause one month you don't stop the show. Little Mary's bad. In these streets she done ran ever since when the heat began. I told a girl, look here, calm down, I'ma hold your hand to enable you to peep the plan. Cause you was quick to learn, and we can make money to burn. If you allow me to lay this game, I don't ask for much, but enough room to spread my wing. And the world finna know my name.
I don't ask for much these days, and I don't bitch and whine if I don't get my way. I only wanna fertilize another behind my lover's back. I sit and watch it to roof stand.
Yeah, I think that's the part that was objectionable.
I hadn't listened carefully to that song for a minute, and I was like, "Wow, yeah. this is at the high school girls volleyball game."
Yeah, yeah,
that's a rough, that's a bad, that about as bad call. As Girl Watcher.
It didn't do that. Yeah, that'd be, well,
the
bad
funny thing
well.
Is, I was going to say How I Got Over. That's my favorite. And the first thing you learn is don't not to give a fuck. I was like, well, that also would be. But when I listened to this, I was like, that would be better, actually.
let's just take a minute and extol the true virtues of Questlove's drumming. Like, Questlove is a tastemaker, unquestionably. He's funny. He's hip as hell. His book is terrific. His taste in music is absolutely impeccable. He's a polyglot. But more than anything, that guy can drum his ass off. Like, his beat, his kick and snare is as formidable as John Bonham's. That guy can freaking play just about anything and plays. He's one of those guys who, like, when he's playing, he's like, I might die in 5 seconds, so I better play really, really well. That's just how he approaches music, and I just couldn't admire him enough. And I just wanted to take a minute because Questlove is cooler now, maybe, to people than he is a musician. And man, oh man, can that guy throw down? Just fantastic.
We got to get him on the podcast. That,
like, the live band behind the Rap Act. I mean, I think they're the biggest, most famous version of that, and they've completely hung in there. And it's funny because it's a retro sound, but it's actually retro of nothing. Because there are no other live bands behind Rap Act.
Like, it's immediately nostalgic of itself, which is really a pretty good trick to pull off. I thought you were picking the OJs. We have not mentioned the OJs. I just got to say OJs, or people are going to give us endless grief.
Love Train.
Backstabbers is my OJ
Backstabbers
song.
Backstabbers is a great one too, man. Those guys.
Kills me.
Telling you, Philadelphia might have Boston. I might have them.
Might? That's actually big. Tim, I got to say, Timmy, you're going to get an angry situate mail from that.
As long as no one brings up the Philadelphia special, I'm okay. all right, gentlemen, you have a great day.
That was a fun
one.
That was
good. Absolutely.
That was good. Great. We'll figure out where we're going next later.
Okay.
All right. Peace.
You will.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electricast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electricast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electricast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electric Ass.